interesting that I know you're a golf guy. So would you ever want to caddy? Because Caddyshack star Michael O'Keefe is going to be caddying at the upcoming U.S. Open.
Greg, I would be completely open to caddying, and I think it would be a lot of fun, especially in a U.S. Open during practice rounds like Danny Boy from Caddyshack will be. I don't think there's a golfer out there who wants my advice on the golf course, though, unfortunately. I have to readily admit that I don't think I'm being chirped by my foursome right now, who say they agree. They don't think my advice on the golf course would be worthy of them. So I would be willing. I don't think anyone would be willing to take me on. But if you want Danny from Caddyshack, he's going to be out there for the first two practice rounds at the U.S. Open on Monday and Tuesday. And I think that's pretty damn cool.
Would you have the physical stamina to carry a bag around for 18 holes?
Strutty, you know me. I've got a European trim fit physique. I'm built like a distance runner. So I'm made for like the 5-hour round. I can throw a tour bag on my back, and I think I'd be okay. Just throw me a power bar and a Gatorade from time to time, and I'll burn those cows off, no problem.
Now, you look at what caddies do. I think that most people don't really understand what they do. You know, we see them get the little yard markers out and say, you know, this is how far you are from here, from this point, and all that, and the tilt of the green, stuff like that. But you know, do caddies get enough respect from the general fan or the average fan about what they deliver for those guys?
I think they do. I mean, those caddies make a lot of money, especially when they're playing with or they're caddying for good players. So some of those guys are pretty famous. Like Tiger's old guy that he had a falling out with was a big name in golf, and a lot of caddies are pros. So if people want to make them and what they do as a profession, they're actually pro golfers most of the time, and they know how to play the game. They know how to read greens. They go through the course notes. Like, it's not easy. You're not just carrying a bag around and saying, oh, here's your 5-iron, hit it nice. No, you're playing the conditions, you're lining it up like you would play it, and then you're trying to adjust to your pro, and you're trying to help them out as much as possible. So there's a science to it, and I think there's a general respect for caddies out there. I really do, and they're not all Danny O'Briens like Caddyshack, and I don't know. I think it's a respectable line of work because they're all pro golfers anyway.
The NHL playoffs last night, Tampa Bay, I think just an absolute gut punch for the New York Islanders because Tampa Bay dominated it the way Tampa likes to play in game one. And then the Islanders played the game they wanted in game two. They knock out Braden Point. Killorn only played, 7 minutes in the game. Yep. They're down to 9 forwards. They're thinking, hey, okay, we're going to go to overtime. And then they give up a goal in the final 10 seconds of that game. Like, I just, man, that in itself was brutal. Probably captured even better than the triple fist pump celebration by John Cooper on the bench, one of the best sellies I've seen by a coach in quite some time.
But and that game had everything, and the finish was something else. I mean, that Kucherov goal and that pass by McDonough, absolutely phenomenal. And you're right, gut punch, knocked the wind out of their sails. Any one of those cliches, taking away their breaking their back, take away their will to win. It really did feel like that was the Islanders' game to lose, and they lost it. And to me, guys, it shows you that despite losing a Killorn, and I know he's not going to play in game three, and despite losing a guy of Braden Point's caliber, like despite not having Steven Stamkos, this team is deep. This team is good, and they're riding confidence right now. They have great goaltending. Victor Hedman is a beast. Sergachev is great. Like, it's incredible to watch what they're being able to do despite some shortcomings in terms of injuries and all of that. And I really feel like they're just cruising to the Stanley Cup final. And quite frankly, guys, I'll throw this at you, too. Like, I think Vegas is kind of in that same boat. And I know they didn't have a great game in game one, but game two, they came back with the script on Dallas. And I think we're just a collision course between two really, really strong teams and from their respective conferences.
Tom Guzzola for Tom's Tidy Tidings. And, you know, I think it feels like that's the way it's heading, and you look at those two. But if there's one area, let's assume that those Vegas and Tampa do play in the final, what is the one area that each team would have an advantage of? Or is there an advantage in Vegas' case?
Ooh. Well, and Shreddy, like, that's a good question. I think Vegas probably doesn't have as good of a blue line. They have a good blue line, but it's probably not as deep, not as experienced, although it's pretty experienced. But you look at, like, the pickups that Tampa made. They've got Shen, who's playing good. They picked up, what, Bogosian, and all of a sudden he looks like he can play again. Hedman's doing Hedman things. Sergeyev's been great. So I think Tampa's got the edge on defense. And then with the injury situation, maybe the Golden Knights are a little bit better up front right now, barring what could happen in the next handful of games. In between the pipes, Curtis Mikkel heavy. He is no Mark Fleury by any means. Pesky and Robin Leonard are literally at the top of their game. So I'd give the defense to Tampa, and then I'd say the forward group with the Golden Knights is a little bit better. And then if you want to go into the goaltending, just the depth maybe that the Golden Knights have.
Tom Guzzola joins us on Edmonton Sports Leader, TSN 1260. Are you, like, in between the trees right now? I think we lost.
We lost.
Oh, there we go.
Wait, really,
I'm right here. Hello.
Is he trying to break 90?
I'm on a bridge. It's a bridge to loneliness because I just double bogeyed, and I'm feeling shame. So I'm sorry about the wind, and I've stopped, and I'll atone for it. I promise.
What are you shooting right now?
Well, I was 3 over until
so
that double bogey. So 5 over. Yeah.
No, I wasn't. True? I wasn't. I asked you what you were shooting. I didn't want the. Well, I was doing really good until this happened. That's like the Islanders. Well, we were tied until we lost.
Yeah. No, I get it. Well said, and I understand, Greg. Yes, 5 over right now, and that's with a snowman a couple holes before. Otherwise,
that's a tough first six holes, man.
How many holes have you played?
Tough first six holes. Holy jeez.
Yeah. What hole are you?
Oh no, I'm going to the last hole.
Oh, that was a fun night.
Wow, you might break 80. Wow, it's a good pitching putt you're at again. I love it. quickly, Tom, what do you make of Mr. Stroll, who's now I know that Dad owns the team and everything, but he comes out and says he's not going to be the sidekick to Sebastian Vettel. I'm like, dude, you honestly think you're going to be better than him? Like, I understand wanting to believe in yourself, but there's also maybe a time and place to kind of know – you know, where you are in the pecking order.
Well, I understand being an up-and-coming F1 driver at 21 years of age. I totally respect that. Like, you're walking around like you're the next big thing. I get it. But your new teammate is Sebastian Vettel. He's a 4-time world champion, 3rd, I think, all-time in races won, and only to Lewis Hamilton and Michael Schumacher. And then he comes in and you go, well, I'm not playing second fiddle. We're an equal team here. I'm like, that's like, unless it's being taken out of context, I'm like, that's a ballsy thing to say, because I'd be asking Mr. Vettel to teach me some of his tricks and how he's gotten over the hump and become such a great racer in F1, despite, you know, whatever talent I might have and how good I might be at 21 years of age. I mean, I think Stroll only has 2 podiums, and he just had one at the Italian Grand Prix last week. So, to me, I think at least reading those quotes, I'm just like, boy, man, like, hey, I get it, but maybe take a step back and not come out so hot with your new teammate who's been there and done that time after time after time on the highest stage in motorsport, because I'd be picking that guy's brain, asking him how to do this, how to do that, what little tricks he has at certain tracks around the entire world, quite frankly. And I think it could only make a guy like Lance Stroll that much better down the road, where he could be at the top of a podium at some point. But I read those comments and I was like, aye, aye, aye. Greg, I sent it to you and I'm like, I don't know if I'd be saying this, even though my dad owned the team.
And quickly, Tommy, who is your pick to win the Super Bowl?
Oh, okay. Well, I'm not going with the Patriots. I heard Rashog went with the Pats for some reason. Yeah.
He wants that one back.
Yeah, he might. And like, that would be like me saying I want the Cardinals to win, even though they got DeAndre Hopkins and, you know, Kyler Murray's in his second year, and things look like they're on the up and up. And they've got Chris Streveler now as QB3, which is great. But I think we see the Chiefs repeat, honestly. That's a great team over there.
Well, wouldn't be surprising to me at all. Tommy, good luck in your last hole. Try not to double bogey. That'd be a brutal way to end. Right?
That's the kiss of death. Thanks, Greg.